Right, thank you very much. No pressure now to keep on time since all my colleagues have done so. I'm going to talk to you about a patron-led experiment in a UK academic library. Started February 2010. Vox Populi. Well, I started looking at my title. Oh, God, doesn't that sound a bit pretentious? Why did I think of that? Voice of the people, or the full thing, Vox Populi, Vox Dei, voice of the people, voice of God. Then last week we had a presentation with our Vice-Chancellor because shamelessly plugged on the bottom there our Times Higher Award for best library team, which was won on the back of our patron-led experiment that I'm going to tell you about. And Chris Brink, our Vice-Chancellor, very inspirational speaker, said lots of nice things about the library in his presentation. And one thing really struck me at the end of his talk, and he said, you do realise from next year, 2012-13, 40% of your salary and mine will be paid for by the students. So the fact that the library has already got off the ball with a patron-led experiment that puts the user firmly at the heart of the service is absolutely spot on. And I came back not quite feeling smug, but thinking, no, it isn't pretensions, it's actually quite prescient, because that's what we're really going to have to sharpen our act to do and to deliver, certainly in the UK environment. So, a little bit of context. I don't know what our North American colleagues have, but the NSS, the National Student Satisfaction Survey, is both bliss and bane as far as we're concerned, because they come out every year and they all come up with the same sort of things. There's never enough books. And I love this one about the book hoarders. That's actually somebody, we don't know who they are, they're anonymous, but you do know the subject. So the historians hide lots of books. And then there's one sad soul who thinks there's only one book in the library, which is really worrying. But, I mean, from our perspective, we have to respond to these things. They're in the public domain. They are competitive. So we need to do something to address them because we're expected to do so. And actually, because we do care about the service, we do want to do something about it. Additional factors, again, chiming very much with what other colleagues have said. The library we're in, 1980s build, 96 extension. We've now got about 6,000 more students than when it was originally built. It ain't big enough. And in fact, this summer, we're taking about two-thirds of the print journals out and redesigning it to put lots of wired spaces in because we get lots of complaints from students that they're sitting in stairwells, there isn't enough space to work in. So we've got to address that. Every year we put more money into the book fund to try and get these We Need More Books issues addressed. Exactly the experience that our North American colleagues are finding. A lot of the print we buy is never used, and then I blench when I walk past the relegation area and see all these pristine books coming off the shelves and going out. So that's not good enough. I have a long and healthy dialogue with Rick Anderson on e-books, also Dennis Dillon at Texas, and it had been chewing over in my mind that maybe this was something we wanted to have an experiment with. And then lo and behold, our PVC, Teaching and Learning, had this innovation fund, and we got the message that an application from the library would be welcomed. So I think I had about 2 days to turn something around, and it was almost written on the back of an envelope, but hey, sometimes these things work, and we got it. But when we were putting the bid together, the critical things for us, because we got the money to do the patron-led, that was the easy bit, but then we had to think, who are we going to do it with? So we spent some time talking with my team, what did we want? And clearly a good range of content was imperative because all our early experiments with e-books foundered really because there weren't enough titles in the collections. A lot of the stuff as well was reference material, which just went down like a lead balloon. So this was for the university at large, had to be good collections, had to be customised, but we wanted to be able to give it a Newcastle spin. We wanted to be able to tweak it as we went along. Seared by the experience, the honest experience from North American friends and colleagues, they all said it'll go fantastically well and you'll be scared at first because the money will just go. So we said, fair enough, we need to have mechanisms in place that we can tweak so that if it is going mad, we can rein it in. And also very important to us, because the NSS things come in by school, so you know whether the medics are really happy, the historians, the classicists, whatever, we needed to be able to identify the patrons and where they were coming from, because we were particularly keen to see, did it address the needs of users, where we get a lot of complaints about not enough book stock. So that was an imperative that had to be in there. We wanted good management data. We wanted to see what it was they were recommending that we could do some follow-up work on. And we wanted a feedback mechanism. So when they'd used the service, there was the option for them to tell us what they thought about it, whether it had been easy, whether they liked it, whether they didn't like it, whatever. And EBL fitted the bill, which was great. So we got the money, 70k startup in January. No pressure, but the VC said, could you possibly start it before the student survey runs again in February? So we literally turned it round in about 2 weeks, and we were very conscious. We didn't do a lot of work. We tried to pull out the non-academic publishers. We did a little bit of subject weeding. Had to be very careful because, you know, I think I spotted something on pole dancing. I said, that shouldn't be in. And then one of my colleagues said, oh, no, there's research going on that in social policy and in media. So, you know, you can't always judge. We were a very broad church. We got the patron data gathering tool set up, and that was really critical to us. There is a drop-down menu, and it has to pre-select the school that they're in, and then we also gather their actually unique ID and identifier from the library card, so we know exactly who they are. Huge amount of effort. My technical services colleagues, I had to be really nice to them. We got over 112,000 records in, and we just, this was the initial profile. I mean, we did this with advice from our colleagues, and also we talked to other libraries as to what they'd started off with, so it seemed a reasonable thing to do. And then look what happened. Whoa. Look how it went in March. £37,000 out of our 70 just went, at which point I had to lie down in a darkened room. So we introduced various demand measures. We slowed down the number of loans, the daily loans from 3 to 1. We turned down the downloading for non-owned books because those immediately incurred loans. We tweaked at what point we would trigger a purchase. We started off on the third loan, then we moved it up to 5. Ooh, slowing down a bit, but still getting me worried. Week 13, we took the rather radical step, which not all of my colleagues agreed with, was actually displaying the cost of the loan to the reader. We made it perfectly clear that we were paying, but we did make it clear to them, if you want to go ahead with this loan, your library will be charged this amount. And then in week 14, as we were running towards, I think this was about May this came through, we decided we'd mediate everything, but we'd guarantee a 24-hour turnaround, which was a little controversial, but it did manage to get us through. What did we learn? Oh, well, most of the patrons absolutely loved it. They really did. And the humanities and social sciences people, who, of course, are our heaviest book users anyway, they loved it, but every single academic school used it, even the engineers. So that was a real plus. The PVC was very happy. She loved it. She thought this was great. But clearly, we had to monitor and regulate the expenditure because at one point, my boss was worried we'd be all spent up by April. And clearly, we had to make this last for the entire academic year. I have to say, colleagues at EBL were fantastically supportive. They're always available either on an email or at the end of the phone to help us to regulate, to share experience from other libraries and say, well, maybe you could do this or you could try this. This would regulate the demand. We were very conscious when we did feedback with our colleagues in the library that the frontline staff felt very vulnerable. Although it was a very easy-to-use service, because we had to get it out so fast to meet the criteria of being there before the survey, they felt very vulnerable and that they didn't really have enough training to address the queries. So we did put a lot of effort in over the summer. We did workshops, we did practical sessions, we developed a frequently asked queries service, which again, if we had more time to plan, we'd have done that at the outset. But, you know, we were wise afterwards. We did need top-up funding. I think we had an extra 15 grand to see us through to the year end, but we were also then given funding for the academic year has just ended because the feedback from the university was this was such a wonderful thing to do, so that was encouraging. Well, how have things gone this year? £135,000, which is about 25% of the book fund, but this was extra money. This hasn't come out of my print book fund, this is extra. You can see just over 11,000 ebooks we've loaned, 522 we've bought, and an average monthly spend of about 10,000. And some months have dipped, but when you sort of plan it out, it kind of the low months are compensated with the high. The big thing you can see there that really worried us was that project peak. And because we'd started in semester two in the February, we were really worried when it came to August because we thought, we've no idea what a semester one is going to look like. And is it going to be just the same? And we'll have another huge peak and we'll never get to February because it'll all be gone. And I'm pleased to say that it wasn't. It did build up in the September and October. And we did have the peak in March, which is the February, March is after the exams. They have January exams and then the semester starts again in serious work. And clearly there's a peak there, but nowhere near as high. The one thing we've noticed this summer now is July is busier, but we've run some additional summer schools this year, and we think that's a different cohort. Also, the summer is busy because the taught master students are there because they don't submit till September. So they're still around. So we think that's what's caused that. And then when you look it across, just to sort of show how it's gone from those scary days, we do feel we understand a little bit more now about the peaks and troughs, and we're quite comfortable about that. And they do slightly mirror the same peaks and troughs that we get in the print environment, because print loans are still ticking along there quite nicely in the background. At the moment, as you see from this spend, it's the loans are currently accounting for 75% of the spend, so we're only generating the actual purchase for 25%, and I think we might tweak that. I think I'd like it to get to about 50-50, I don't know, so we're going to play around with this a little bit. We did some work over the summer, because at the moment we have been purchasing on the fifth loan. Rolling up to year end, we actually got some reports of items that were on their third loan or fourth, and we did some preemptive selection of that. So I think we're going to tweak that just to see whether that would be the best route to actually do more purchases so that we actually build up a pool of selected stock rather than just have it all go on loans. Questions we began to ask, because we're building this huge mass of data. Well, what do they like and dislike about it? Because we need to know in terms of building it forward. Which subjects dominate? Are they the same subjects that dominate in the print environment? This next one, that was something dear to my heart. Is there any correlation between high EBL usage and usage of other demand aspects of our service, the high holds where they put in reservations for popular stuff, student text collection, which tends to be the four-hour loans? We wanted to see if the same people were using those bits of the service. Was it reading list material that they were hitting in these extra collections, or were they reading more widely? Were they going off topic? Have we got savings in any other areas? How's the fact that we put all this money into EBL meant that they've actually spent less on other things? And has there been any decline? Because this was a whole cycle through. Does it get better? Does it get sweeter when we get to the next NSS? What do they think? Oh, my son's played around with these slides. Never leave your PowerPoint when your teenager is open when they're around, because they tweak it. Lots of positive things coming here. I like the one from the law student. It's cool. It's much nicer than Google Books. I like things like that. The feedback we got, the arts liaison, and this was from the School of English, and we get huge complaints from them about there never being enough books. So that was actually really quite reassuring, because all my liaison librarians go to staff student committees. And Lucy came back really quite heartened about this, that she thought this was an improvement. Nice to see the scientists being positive in there, the maths lecturer. That was quite pleasing. So overall, that was encouraging. However, in the interest of balance, not everybody liked it. Postgrad student with children. This one about the printing was interesting, because we found out with that they had been able to print, but because students rush into things, they don't always select which printer. So of course this person was printing away, going to the printer they thought they'd commissioned, and there was nothing there, so they sent us the angry thing, and then somebody came in the next day with a whole pile of print from another printer. So they haven't actually followed that one through. And this interesting one about the $120, that was from an academic. And of course, what they were forgetting was, you know, £10 for the print, but only one person can use it at a time. Whereas the point of several hundred people could use at the same time the e-copy. So that was quite interesting. It was a misconception, but it did tell us something about promotion, that when the prices are there for everyone to see, you do need to be sensitized to that. Yeah, and that one. Bit of a nightmare at first, but hey, we got there in the end. So I mean, we do take the comments seriously, and we're just as interested in the negative as the positive, because you know we've got to think about this. Who's using it most? Well, the management students are winning by a mile. And that's interesting because we have a big undergraduate programme. We've also got an executive MBA and an ordinary MBA and lots of CPD courses. So there's a huge cohort and there's a lot of crossover. Books cited for the undergrads are also used for the MBA students. So we weren't really surprised. Historical studies and education, again, big demand disciplines, lots of students. So that didn't really surprise us. Now we started to look at the reading. We looked at the top 100 titles across the year to see was there any synergies with the reading list. And I say 54 of the titles were on reading lists. 25 were also on high holes, which means they were also requested heavily for print. One was in the student text, so that's interesting. We always feel ambivalent. Students don't like student text collections. Four-hour print loans, they're really not keen on that, not least because they panic about the fines. But the interesting thing, 20 titles were not on the high holes. Now, we're going to do it with the top 500 and the top 1,000 to see if these percentages pan out, but it does actually bear out what we suspected from looking at the titles and just flying these past the liaison brains. They're using it for a lot of the around the subject reading when they go off topic. We've also looked at the numbers, the year of study, and the heaviest users are our third year undergraduates who are doing projects and dissertations and the taught master's students. So that those cohorts will not be just using reading lists. They should be reading off topic, and clearly we're providing a range of resources. And the fact that the interlibrary loans have gone down by £10,000. Now, at the moment, that's a coincidence. I have no causal evidence that that's linked. What we're going to do this year is a lot more analysis on the interlibrary loans to see which subject areas have declined, which requesters, to see if we can make that link a little firmer. And it's the monograph interlibrary loans that's gone down, so it does suggest there's a linkage, but I'm cautious about whether I can say that's definitive. This was something we started to put together to say, is there any preference emerging? And it's clear the management students will use everything. They use the student text, they will put lots of holes in, and they like EBL. Sociologists like the student text, like EBL, but they're not putting holes on. So, you're beginning to get some subject flavours about what demand measures work in certain areas. So we're going to do some more experimenting around this in terms of what the different user categories prefer in terms of how can we best meet your needs. So that's quite fun. Have we had fewer complaints about the lack of books? Sadly not, but we have had lots more positive comments about the library from the schools that have been the heaviest users. So that's actually quite encouraging. They will still moan, but they've actually said more positive things as well because they get an option to say things they like and things they didn't. So we feel a little heartened at that there are some things that are coming in there that are actually quite positive. So we're feeling more encouraged on that. Concluding thoughts. It really was quite scary in those early days, and I never felt it wasn't the right thing to do, but I did worry whether we'd actually managed to get it through the fiscal year so that we actually had enough data there to prove whether it was worth doing. Funding is now secure for this academic year, so that'll be two full academic years and a half. The one thing I'm now working with my acquisition staff and with the liaison librarians is to figure how we blend it in to what we're doing on our core acquisitions programme in what is without a doubt a fiscally challenged environment. This is my third year with a flat budget. And had I not been able to do some paying ahead as part of year-end spend, we would have had another cut this year. So I think that echoes comments made elsewhere. It's got to be something that I can manage. And that's why librarians always get a bit scared about non-controlled costs. But I think when you know that the cupboard is bare and if you spend up, there is no opportunity to go and draw down more, that really is something that we need to finesse. We're very keen to work with EBL to improve the management reporting because we're now building up this huge data set. And I'm very mindful whenever I go into my stats guy and say, well, I've had a thought. Wouldn't it be interesting if we could just, and he kind of looks heavenwards and said, the really big files to manipulate now. This is going to take me an awful lot of time. So I think we do have to figure out ways if there were maybe some standard reports that could be set up as we can with our LMS system that I could actually just get these reports run. So I think that's something that we need to consider. We are looking at adding in other vendors as long as they meet our key criteria. I'm very well aware, as a member of the JISC electronic information resources working group, that we've got a tender out at the moment looking for innovative models in supply, and I very much hope that we get something that includes patron-led in that, because I think that would be fantastic. And new for this next year, what we're doing, and I've got to get this finalised next week, we're going to pilot a print initiative, a patron-led print initiative, and here's the cunning wheeze with this. We're going to use the fines income. And again, don't know what it's like in the States, but in the UK, we're always getting, every now and then, there's a cluster of FOI requests about library fines, and there'll be an article in The Guardian about how dreadful it is, poor students, all this money's coming in. Well, we think we've got the trump card this time, because libraries don't like charging fines. We only do it to encourage non-selfish behaviour so that everyone gets a chance to have the books. But what we're going to do is the fines income from last year is going to be used to fund a patron-led print initiative. So the students who have been selfish and incurred fines will now be providing a pot of money for other colleagues to suggest new books, print books, for the library to buy. And we'll be able to audit that at the end of the financial year and tell the students what they bought in print. So that's the next one that we're going to do. What also we want to look at, we're very interested in how it performs after purchase. We've looked at a few titles, the first 100, and actually quite encouraged that they are generating loans. And we want to benchmark that with material that the liaison librarians have selected, benchmark it with what the academics select. I think the academics selected will come out worst, but I shouldn't prejudge. Very keen to see how we can blend this in, and we are looking very carefully at that. And my final slide, hopefully not too far over, this is a slide from the Library Rules of 1894, where you see that no student was allowed to borrow books or remove them, but in special cases they may be allowed to if they had a letter from the prof. And I think I really would just like to contrast that position, where there is really no concept of being led by the patron, being responsive to the patron's need. It was very much, we'll tell you how you run the service. And the things that we're doing now, because the citation for our library award said specifically what they liked about our application was it clearly put the student at the heart of the service. So I think we have come a long way, but I'm under no illusions we've also got another long journey ahead of us. So thank you very much. I'm sorry, I hope that wasn't too far.